There were hopes that President Obama would signal big changes today in the way the U.S. deals with climate change. That's what many leaders from other developed nations were hoping for. Joining us now to talk about international reaction to Mr. Obama's speech is NPR's Richard Harris. Hi, Richard.
Hello, Robert.
You listened to the speeches that followed the president's. What sense did you get from those speeches of how the president was received?
Well, Mr. Obama is very popular, and he got a nice warm round of applause when he was done. I think he scored points for fully acknowledging that global warming is a huge and serious issue. But there was a lot of frustration that he didn't say more, that he didn't put something new on the table in a big way from the United States. I listened to France President Nicolas Sarkozy, who gave one of the speeches later on, and he even sounded angry. In his speech, he even referred to empty speeches. He didn't mention Mr. Obama per se, but his frustration level at the pace of climate talks was clearly just through the roof.
Well, what would the Europeans actually have wanted President Obama to say?
Well, what the Europeans would really like is for Mr. Obama to step up and make bold promises to slash U.S. emissions of carbon dioxide. But let me take you back to the Kyoto climate talks in 1997. The Clinton administration essentially did make those bold promises in Kyoto. They brought them back to Washington, D.C., and it was a dead letter because, remember, any treaty needs 67 votes in the Senate. And that's a huge challenge to get 67 people agreeing on anything, senators. So Mr. Obama's strategy is try to get domestic climate legislation through the Senate first to find out what the Senate is willing to stand behind, and then bring them climate legislation. So the timing is very unfortunate in terms of the global climate talks, but he doesn't want to end up where we were after Kyoto in 1997.
And what's been heard from China, which actually produces even more emissions than the U.S. does?
Yes, well, President Hu Jintao of China gave a speech here today also, and it was billed in advance as a blockbuster. But I think people who've been tracking what's been up with China didn't hear very much at all new in that speech. What China is up to is it does have ambitious domestic climate plans. They're not ambitious enough actually to reduce the emissions from China, but they're enough to slow them down. But President Hu Jintao did not make any promises really regarding an international deal. And so it doesn't seem like what he said would really break the logjam that we're seeing in the current climate talks.
Any other interesting speakers from other parts of the world?
Well, the speaker who followed Mr. Obama was the president of the Maldives, their low-lying island state. And he sort of half-jokingly said that, you know, he's always asked to come to events like this to remind people that his country actually could disappear under the waves if sea level rises as much as it could easily in the next century or two. So it was an impassioned plea basically to act before it's too late. And the other impassioned speech came from the leader of Rwanda, who basically reminded everyone that the poorest countries in the world really suffer the most, even though they are least responsible for global warming. And he was advocating a very substantial transfer of wealth, essentially, from the rich countries to the poor countries as a way to help the poor countries take care of the problems that the rich countries have created.
Richard, this is all in preparation for the climate talks in December in Copenhagen. And does today at the UN give you any indication of what's likely to happen there in December?
Well, I think that it's pretty clear that there's not going to be an enormous breakthrough that will make Copenhagen a resounding success in the terms that people are all hoping for. I mean, the countries of the world are in agreement that there should be a climate treaty, that we need to do something about global warming. The issue is that they're on an extremely tight deadline to make things happen in Copenhagen. It doesn't seem as though they're going to make an enormous amount of progress between now and December.
Thank you, Richard.
My pleasure.
That's NPR's Richard Harris at the United Nations.